Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Today we're touching base with various organizations to see how veterans are still accessing services and how facilities are coordinating to keep coronavirus out and veterans safe. We're going to start today with Aaron Pollard. He's Deputy Secretary of the South Dakota Department of Affairs. In a few minutes, we'll hear from folks from the Michael J. Fitzmaurice State Veterans Home in Hot Springs. And then a little bit later, we'll talk with the VA Medical Center in Sioux Falls for a federal perspective about how patients there are going through the process. So first up, Aaron Pollard, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Lori. Good to talk to you again.
Yes, nice to talk to you. So let's talk about some business as usual first, which is people still need services. Veterans still need to file claims. People still need to transition from being in the service. Are those things all still going on, or have there been pauses and halts?
Well, I would say that it's not business as usual, but we're still doing business. So, there's been a scale back of public contact at most federal facilities, which our folks at the Sioux Falls office who process claims for veterans aren't able to do necessarily public contact in the building, but we're still there working to make sure claims are getting filed and we have contact information on our door. That way, veterans can call us, and if they need something, we're there to provide that for them. And then also we have an army of county and tribal veteran service officers that are spread out through the state. And although every county is doing things a little bit differently, to the best of my knowledge, there aren't any counties or tribes that aren't able to assist veterans right now with their claims concerns or just any of the full gamut of benefits that we assist veterans with. So, like I said, it's not business as usual, but we're still getting it done.
Tell me a little bit about benefits that are already coming to veterans, disability payments, GI Bill benefits. Are those still in force?
Yes, they are. We haven't received any notification. The VA is funded on a two-year continuing resolution. So there shouldn't be any issues or interruptions in benefits, as far as from what I've heard. So if there's any veterans that are concerned about that, I know the president signed S-3503, which that'll continue GI Bill payments for those students that have to take classes online versus in person. Mm-hmm. Those payments are still continuing for those GI Bill recipients. So I don't think that the benefits, I don't think you'll notice an impact there necessarily.
All right. I want to bring some other folks onto the conversation now. We have representatives of the leadership team from the Michael J. Fitzmaurice State Veterans Home in Hot Springs. Brad Richardson is superintendent. Welcome, Brad. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for the opportunity, Lori.
Also with us, Susan Wilcox, who is Director of Nursing, and Kay Patton, who is Assistant Director of Nursing. Susan and Kay, thanks for being here as well.
Thank you.
So, Brad, I'm going to start with you, and I want you to talk about your staff for a moment, because clearly most of us who have been following the news saw what happened in Kirkland, Washington, and are immediately keyed in to what's possible in a nursing home, how quickly it can devastate a population. What did you learn from that event, and how is your staff really responding to keep coronavirus out of the Fitzmaurice home?
Oh, that's a great question. First of all, the South Dakota Veterans Home is very fortunate to have the level of professionalism that we have. We've got some fantastic clinical and non-clinical folks that are here to support our veterans and fellow South Dakotans. What's even greater is that Secretary Whitlock and the rest of the South Dakota leadership continue to give us what resources are needed to be able to mitigate any ongoing or potential shortfalls or, for example, most certainly this virus that we're looking at. You mentioned Kirkland, Washington. Certainly a tragedy. As I read that report a little bit more thoroughly yesterday, a lot of those clinicians and nursing staff were thinking that they had cases of influenza. We're doing, well, not only have we learned from that, but we're doing lots of secondary and tertiary things to make sure that we are screening those folks. And I know probably Susan and Kay can talk to you specifically about some of the clinical things that we're running through now to make sure that we don't see any signs or symptoms creep into the facility.
And Susan, my first question for you is something that many people might not be thinking of, which is a lot of this stuff you do anyway, even though this is a new challenge before you. Tell me a little bit about how this is different than what you normally do and how you're responding.
Well, right now it's business as usual. We always follow the guidelines and Department of Health guidelines for PPE, the personal protective equipment. Our staff are trained from day one on how to follow those guidelines. So that's not really any different. The main difference is that we're screening people when they come in the building. We have one entrance in and out, so there's in that staff 24/7. That's about the only difference right now. We keep adding, you know, some of the CDC guidelines change if every day, if not every hour. So we're keeping up on those. We have an excellent infection preventionist, Rochelle Butler. She's done a great job here in training staff. So I think everything is business as usual. Like I said, we're just adding a little bit of layer of security onto those things.
Kay, tell me how the residents are responding, because you have people who are, you know, in memory care, and then you also have people who normally could come and go from the facility in sort of an independent living scenario. What are you hearing from residents and from their families?
Everybody's, you know, working together to try to keep this virus from coming in, and they realize how serious it is. They're all complying and willing to help us try to keep it secure here. We're not allowing any residents or staff to leave the facility grounds, or residents, I mean.
Brad?
Lori, it's Brad.
Yep, go ahead, Brad.
I think it's important to add on to that, that the community, the greater community of Hot Springs, being the veterans town, has been focused for decades as a healthcare-centric community, and our community is really responding and picking up in terms of helping to support not only the VA here in town, but certainly the Veterans Home and, of course, Fall River Hospital.
Brad, what sort of services have you been able to reduce in order to eliminate extra people coming into a facility?
Well, obviously, we are following CDC and Department of Health guidance from South Dakota. We, through our infection control, and then both Susan and Kay implemented early on at the beginning of the month, screening procedures to slow and then very quickly halt anybody that was non-essential coming into the facility, be it different vendors or visitors, most certainly visitors. Our social workers reached out to all the family members of all the residents to make sure that they understood what was happening within the first days, and very nice to know that those family members were most appreciative of hearing from us, making sure that their loved ones were being cared for and that we were taking this very seriously. We continue to reach out to those families often, and we certainly want our veterans to have frequent communications with their loved ones to let them know that all is well here.
And Susan, for people who are just tuning in and they're saying, why are you talking to the Veterans Home in Hot Springs? Just to confirm, you don't have any potential cases at this point in the facility. All is currently well. We're really talking about preparation at this point and efforts by the staff to make sure it stays that way, correct?
Correct. Like Brad said, we started limiting visitors almost a month ago in preparation, so we're kind of ahead of the game.
And Susan, how are the residents kind of holding up to that change? Because it's a change in their lifestyle as well. What are you hearing from them?
Like Kay said, they're all very concerned, and we do have an in-house television station, so we're doing videos and offering a lot of communication and information about the virus and what they can do to stop it. We're doing some creative things with activities. We have the Never Too Late and music and memory things that we already are using. We're ramping those up a little bit. The veterans are used to challenging situations, so I think everybody's doing a great job. They're, like Kay said, again, they're all very compliant and very concerned, and our staff are doing a great job trying to just do things on the household, not getting together in big groups like we normally do.
Are they isolated in their rooms right now, or are they free to sort of move about and take meals? And, you know, how are we kind of working that internally?
We're set up in households of 13, and the residents, they're not confined to their rooms at this point. That may be down the line if things do happen, but right now everybody can still come out. We do some social distancing. We're trying to keep people at least six feet apart for meals and any activities that they're doing.
And Brad, do you feel like you're getting the support from the state of South Dakota that you need for the days ahead and for what you've had to go through so far?
Absolutely. We kind of kid each other that we're on 13 or 14 different state and federal telecoms each week, and as well as talking to our neighbors here in Hot Springs. I can't be happier right now with our meeting our anticipated mission objectives and being able to look forward to seeing an end to this virus as soon as possible.
And Aaron Pollard, if you're still with us, any thoughts on how this planning and preparation has gone at the Fitzmaurice Home for Veterans in Hot Springs? Anything you wanted to add, Aaron?
Well, I would just I would just echo what Brad and Mary and Susan have said, that, you know, it's they planned early and often, and I think it's just been, you know, it's been put into place, and we've done a very good job with mitigating the best that we can.
Yeah, plan early, plan often. Brad, one of the things we've been saying on this show is every decision you make has a 24-hour expiration date, or even sooner. Are you finding that you have to be particularly nimble to make one decision and then reevaluate it quickly?
Yes, I joke with my staff, especially those of us that had served in the military, that this is, on a wartime setting, this is like pre-deployment. We're getting ready to deploy in the theater. That's about how fast I'm going here. And again, I wouldn't be able to do it if I didn't have the two ladies sitting in front of me and all the other staff that are really picking up the ball and running with it and anticipating the needs and requirements. Are asking the what if questions. It just gels to make what really is a fabulous team here.
Brad Richardson is superintendent of the Michael J. Fitzmaurice State Veterans Home in Hot Springs. You also heard there from Susan Wilcox, director of nursing, and Kay Payton, assistant director of nursing, and Aaron Pollard, who is deputy secretary of South Dakota Department of Affairs. We're going to move on and talk about veterans care on a federal level. So, gentlemen and ladies, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate that. Up next, as hospitals across the state are preparing for a potential influx of patients, what does coronavirus care look like for the state's veterans? Lisa Simino is the director of the Sioux Falls VA healthcare system. Lisa, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about how veterans who normally get their care access their tests if they need a coronavirus test, and treatment if they need it. What is that process like?
Right now, we're asking veterans to call the medical center before they report. We want to make sure that we're keeping them safe and our staff. So if they call, they'll be able to talk to a healthcare professional who can determine what their symptoms need attention-wise and ensure that they get the testing for their conditions.
And, you know, a lot of VA patients are by nature elderly or immunocompromised. There's just this is a population with a lot of irregular underlying health conditions. Tell me a little bit about it in Sioux Falls at the Medical Center, how you're prepared to meet capacity if that is required.
We're looking at all the resources that we have available. We do have space to expand our capacity. We've got a team of healthcare workers looking at the best options right now. But we've been fortunate that so far our veterans have been able to self-quarantine and stay in their home environment. Mm-hmm. It's always better to keep people in their homes if we can. It makes them more comfortable, and I think it helps them in their healing.
How about folks from rural areas, veterans who normally drive in to VA, and what kind of challenges does that pose?
We are encouraging them to call ahead. We don't want them to take a long road trip if they don't need to. A lot of their health care needs can be met through telehealth technologies and telephone calls, but if they are getting more severe and need more assistance, we are directing them to report to their local emergency rooms rather than drive all the way to Sioux Falls.
Mm-hmm. And does that become a benefit that gets worked out later on, where the payment for that is sorted out?
That is available through the Mission Act. We do have arrangements with local emergency rooms because even in day-to-day situations, if someone breaks their leg, we don't want them driving all the way here. Go to the local emergency room. We work it out on the back end.
Right. Good point. That's sort of a procedure already in place. Is VA working with hospitals like Avera and Sanford in Sioux Falls to share capacity one way or the other? What is that coordination looking like?
At this point, we are partnering where we can, but for now, we are on our core mission of helping veterans. If the situation would accelerate, we would call into action the VA's fourth mission of being an emergency responder for the community, and we are preparing for that.
Are administrative staff members in Sioux Falls being allowed to work from home? Because we understand the U.S. Veterans Health Administration has banned most administrative staff from telework because of server availability. Are you able to get everyone, from a staffing standpoint, working remotely if they can, or is there a sticking point there?
They have resolved the sticking point. They have managed to get more servers online and expand the capacity. But as a hospital, we are limiting the amount of telework because if we do go into a surge capacity with patients coming in, it will be all hands on deck. You could be an accountant, but you could also be needed to move patients, run laboratory tests. So we have to be aware of what our future needs are before I can send people home to work on telework.
Do you source the same supplies for your personal protective equipment and your ventilators and your hospital supplies in general? Does that come from the same spot where a Sanford or Avera supplies come from, or is there a different supply chain?
No, it's the commercial supply chain. We have contracts already in place that we draw upon, but it's some of the same vendors that the community hospitals use.
Lisa Simoneau, anything else that we should ask you about how the Sioux Falls VA healthcare system is meeting this potential pending crisis? Any further thoughts?
We'd just like to share that we have ceased visitation in the building. So if you have a loved one that's an inpatient and you want to talk to them, we encourage you to call 336-3230, and the operator will connect you to your loved one. And to keep following us on social media at VA Sioux Falls. And that's where we're keeping all our latest information.
Lisa, thank you so much. We appreciate your time.
Thank you.